the other day I received a call on the church's Google Voice line that rings to my cell phone. And on the other end was a friendly person who represented a company that helps local churches reduce their carbon footprint and global impact. Great. What came next was a spiel about percentages and the amount of savings that churches could have that are just like ours. And the importance of going green and being environmentally conscious was on the top of the list of why this call was happening. Great, I said. It's good to know that you've worked with other mobile churches. And that comment must have gone unheard because it was like I hadn't even spoken. The sales rep began to explain our need for our mobile church to have an updated HVAC system, you know, to save the planet and all. Now, I was able to find a break in this long presentation to explain that we didn't, in fact, have any heating or air conditioning system, which I think the rep perked up a little bit. Wow, nothing, okay. And I said, so you can't get much greener than that, right? Well, how do you heat your building? How do you cool it? Well, I replied, we don't have a building. We're a mobile ministry. We have a truck, not a building. Well, I've never heard of that before, the rep responded, trying to find some kind of new angle to this sales pitch. Now, at this point, I had already mentioned that I was the pastor of the church and that I'd feel, you know, bad if I just kind of hung up abruptly on. So I ended up ending the call by saying, you know, earlier you had mentioned that you had helped churches like mine, but you didn't seem to hear me when I said that we were a mobile church or even know what that was. So let me make you an offer. In the future, if you would like help or some kind of pointers about how to make your business even greener, give me a call. We can talk about how your company might not even need a building altogether, but rather for the health of the planet, maybe you could be a remote site and not even need HVAC help yourself. Thanks for your time. Have a great day. Now, the sales rep didn't necessarily care about what I had to say about our church's carbon footprint. They were just trying to do their job and make a sale. They weren't helping me out. They were pushing forward and furthering their agenda. Now, this week we begin a new two-part teaching series entitled Dangerous Prayers, where we'll see how we can easily treat our prayer time like a cold call to God, asking what is on our agenda to be done, rather than what might be God's will or the best long-term plan for our lives. And I would argue that when we do this, we're not only treating God like a genie, but we're also shortchanging ourselves in the process. Because God's plan for our lives are bigger and more impactful than we could ever dream of alone by ourselves. And so today, we're going to see that one of the most dangerous prayers we can pray is, speak to me, God. We can pray, speak to me, God, with a heart that is ready to respond to God's voice, and in doing so, open ourselves up to the vastness of God's plan for our life. Now, in our scripture, we see how Samuel needed to have some intentional time about being still enough to recognize God's voice. And he needed to be willing to actively listen and ready to act when God spoke. You see, what's happening in this story is that Eli is a priest at the time, and God's spirit had all but left him because he and his family had forgotten how to listen and hear and respond to God. Eli's family was a mess, to put it mildly, and therefore God was going to be doing something powerful, something painful, and something prophetic through young Samuel. He was about 10 or 11 at the time of this story, but first God needed to get the boy's attention. And so God calls a couple of times in the middle of the night, and Samuel thinks that it's his mentor Eli, runs over to him, asks him what he wants, and then finally, after the third time, the old priest figures out what's going on and instructed Samuel to respond, "Speak, God, your servant is listening." If we pray for God to speak to us, first we need to be still enough to listen for God. we quickly can forget how to hear the voice of God because there are so many other competing distractions in our lives. We soon forget the way that God speaks, kind of with this accent of grace that doesn't seem to make sense at first hearing, because God acts differently. Now, speaking of accents, when I was in college, most of my friends were from the South and they spoke with pretty heavy accents. At first, it was hard for me to understand some of the words, or they just didn't fit because of this accent. And yet, after a little while, I was picking up what they were putting down. I understood not only the words that they were using, but the accent that they had. God speaks with an accent of grace. And so to better understand that accent, we can read how God acts throughout Scripture. We can ask faithful friends to share their experience so that we might better hear God's accent of grace speaking in our lives. And then when we learn that accent, we also need to make room to intentionally listen to God. If our prayers look more like a Christmas list or a sales script than a conversation, we might be talking right over God's words that are being spoken into our lives today. If we're going to pray the prayer, "Speak to me, God," we need to first be still enough to hear God's voice. And then next, if we're going to pray this dangerous prayer, we need to be willing to know that it might take us off the beaten path into some new places that feel outside of our comfort zone. We need to be willing to hear the boldness of God's plan and the direction for our lives and be okay moving in that direction. God was about to give Samuel the message that there would be a judgment of Eli's household and that there's going to be a restructuring in the making, and Eli's family wasn't part of that new formula. This wasn't an easy message to send, especially when Samuel knew that he was going to have to tell his mentor about what God is up to and doing. God might speak in ways that call us to be used in things that weren't on our vision board or our five-year plan. But those ways can also bring about immense transformation for us and those around us. You know, we sometimes agree to something but have no intention on following through. I can't tell you how many times I said that I would read a book that's suggested to me and actually even ordered some. They're probably on that bookshelf right behind me right now, but I had no intention of really cracking them open and digesting their words. And yet, words from God aren't like things to be collected or stored like a piece of sports memorabilia or fine china just to sit on the shelf. God's word is to be lived into. This is part of the reason why this prayer is so powerful if we take it seriously, if we're willing to take part. And so finally, if we are still enough to hear, if we're willing to go, then we need finally to be ready for when God speaks to us. We need to make preparations. We don't want to be caught off guard or unaware of what God is up to and doing, or unable to go where God is sending us. We need to set ourselves up for success. Being ready for God means making sure that we are faithful in what God has asked us to do in the past before we ask for a new assignment or new word about the direction that God is taking our lives. We need to finish the small things before we can tackle the big things that God has in store. But we've all done that, right? We've gotten tired with an assignment, or we just don't want to do the awkward conversations or the hard parts, and so we try to move on to something bigger and better rather than doing the thing that we've dreaded. But this preparation, this being ready, is what Paul calls us to prepare our spiritual lives in the same manner that athletes train. Day in and day out, we do our job little by little. We are to make every attempt to be ready for what God has in store for us, even if there's no definitive direction right now. Let's be ready, let's be on our toes. You know, some of that readiness was an important factor for John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist movement, who would ask anyone who came to be ordained some questions. And one of the most important ones that he offered was, "Do you have debts to the point of embarrassment?" I know that sounds kind of weird, except John knew firsthand from his dad, who was also a pastor, how finances can tie your hands. His dad was actually in debtor's prison for a little while. And so, you know, this moment of not being able to pay your debts and not being able to go where God sends you because you're literally in jail because you haven't paid your debts. It's a hard thing. Now, I'm not saying that that's you, but maybe there is something that is impeding you from going where God calls you. What is that thing? You know, we think about dangerous prayers. We have all kinds of different kinds of prayers. Prayers over our food, prayers before we go to bed, and they're good, but they're also too small if we just leave it at that. The question for us today is, are we willing to pray bold and dangerous prayers, like asking God to speak into our lives and move only as God can, with a God-sized vision for our lives, letting us live into the God-sized potential that that God knows we have within inside of us? This week, I want to challenge you to pray the Wesleyan Covenant Prayer slowly at least once a day, if not two or three times a day. This is a beautiful kind of covenant prayer that my hope is that it will help still your spirit long enough to hear what God's saying, open your willingness to respond to God, and ready your mind for what God might be speaking for your next faithful step. And so I thought that we would just kind of end our time together today praying this prayer. So let's pray together as we conclude today. I am no longer my own, but thine. Put me to what thou wilt. Rank me with whom thou wilt. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be employed by thee or laid aside for thee, exalted for thee or brought low for thee. Let me be full, let me be empty. Let me have all things, let me have nothing. I freely and heartily yield all things to thy pleasure and disposal. And now, O glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thou art mine and I am thine, so be it. And the covenant which I have made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. Amen.